Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone, the internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Yes, Simon Tierney is here to tell us about another invention that changed the world. And this week, Simon, it's the biscuit.
The biscuit, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought it changed the world.
That's a very surprising thing to say, Tom. I think you're really undervaluing what the biscuit did.
Just the little few you heard mentions there in the sting of things that changed the word. Penicillin,
sanitation.
You don't. You kind of think of the biscuit as something that doesn't really change the world outside. It might change your world at the end of an episode of Fair City, for instance. But you couldn't see how it would, change the course of history. Well,
let me explain to you how it did change.
Please do.
And let's revert back to this at the end of the slide.
Okay.
And we'll see if I've changed your mind. So it changed the world because we take for granted that food is fresh nowadays. I presume you're a fridge owner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a fridge owner as well. Proud fridge owner. But what I will say is that in times before the luxury in which we live now, the idea of long-lasting food was something that was actually quite difficult to achieve. And we think of the biscuit as a little luxury that we have with a cup of tea or coffee now, and we don't think a second more than that. But in the 19th century, and right back to when it was invented in the first century AD, the biscuit was about creating something which was so dry and cooked so many times that it would last for a long time in unrefrigerated storage.
Right.
And that meant that for people travelling at sea on long voyages, particularly in a military context for armies, that they had something that gave them a little bit of sustenance.
Right.
And it was cost effective.
And do you actually have the name of the man who invented the biscuit?
Yeah.
Is it as simple as that? We have a, there was a news item that night today.
Yeah.
And in other news.
Yeah,
from
well,
the outer territories.
It's always difficult to put a name on the origins of something that's so old. But often what historians will take as their cue for this is the first written documentary source that we have for a recipe for a foodstuff. So for the biscuit, the man who is responsible for that was a famous chef, cook, culinary genius from ancient Rome named Marcus Apicius. And in the first century AD, he described, and I'll quote for you, Tom, a thick paste of fine wheat flour, which was boiled and spread out on a plate. When it had dried and hardened, it was cut up and then fried until crisp, then served with honey and pepper. Now, what's really important about that is that he cooked it twice.
Okay.
So in Latin, which was the language that he obviously spoke, he called it biscoctus. Bis means twice in Latin, and coctus means cooked. So biscuit, the word that we use in the English language, means twice cooked.
Very good. You live and learn. Biscuit, twice cooked.
Yes.
I'll be impressing my children with that later on. So the whole idea is it's going to be able to last and be a source of food. And it's really the navies, and particularly the British Navy, isn't it, that starts to make major use of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the late 16th century, the Spanish Armada are heading up in frightful manner, 130 ships heading for the British Isles. The Royal Navy at this time were fed on, and we know this for certainty, again, documentary source, that they were fed on a ration, a daily ration of 1 pound of biscuit plus 1 gallon of beer. Obviously, beer and rum were the quintessential liquids that they were allowed to consume because that was how you knew it was safe and clean. Biscuit, as I said at the top of the item, it was long lasting. They called it hard tack, Tom. Tack was kind of a slang at the time for any type of dried food, and hard because, in fact, the Royal Navy didn't cook their biscuits twice; they cooked them 4 times.
Take no risks
to make them as dry and as hard as possible, so that they would last for months at sea. Right, but obviously, as a result of that, they're hard to eat. They actually called them molar breakers because they
molar
were
breakers.
Yeah, they were so hard to eat. But they contained meat juices. They were animalized biscuits. They're not biscuits that we associate now with a sweet or a sugary flavor. These were animalized, so they had meat juices in them, beef dripping to give the sailors a little bit of a protein shot. And this is where we get the whole culture of dunking.
Right, because they had to dunk them because they were just like a brick, really.
Do you dunk?
Oh, yeah. Would do you, whatever is
like,
necessary.
Would you dunk every type of biscuit?
I wouldn't dunk every type.
Now, some just disintegrate.
Some do disintegrate, yeah. And we came across a nice one, a new invention, because there's still breakthroughs. The wafer-thin digestive, chocolate-covered digestive was introduced.
Yeah, huge
very
fan.
Nice.
Huge fan.
Yeah. Older style of biscuits, I don't know if people still do it, but two Marietta biscuits together, buttered and then joined as one.
Oh, lovely.
Now, that's
a biscuit sandwich.
Dunkin' classic.
Yeah.
Because the biscuit's melting around, the butter kind of still holds together, and that melts in your mouth, then that's...
Yeah.
That's a sensational experience.
Well, what people don't realise, Tom, is that dunking was done out of necessity.
Yep.
Everyone was a dunker in the 16th century. Right. There wasn't if you weren't a dunker, you were going to the dentist, basically.
It's seen as a bit of an indulgence.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. But back then, they all did it. They would dunk it in their coffee or sometimes in warm brine.
Warm brine.
Yeah. Now, again, you have to remember that this was a salty, a savoury snack. It wasn't a sugary snack. One of my favourite stories about dunking goes back to the American Civil War in the 1860s. It wasn't
they
just
used it as a weapon, did they?
Yeah. They chucked it like a frisbee across the battlefield. What they did in the southern, the kind of... what would you say? The humid climates of the southern United States. There was often, if the biscuits weren't kept in containers, there'd be in insect infestations, and the insects, particularly weevil larvae, which I had to Google image, don't, they're disgusting, they go into the biscuit and they actually live in the biscuit, and the female weevil larvae will lay their eggs in the middle of the biscuit, right?
Yeah.
So what the Confederacy soldiers would do in the southern United States is that they would dunk their biscuit for quite a long while, and doing that made the larvae or the insects come out of the biscuit, and they would rise to the top of their cup of coffee, and then they'd just skim the top of their cup of coffee to get the larvae out.
Or most of the larvae.
Or most, yeah.
God, that's not very savoury. But still, there you go. Do you know what really struck me? In the British Navy, they were using the hardtack from 1588 to 1814. Isn't that an incredibly long period of time where the main bit of food you have didn't really change?
Yeah, it was only canned food that destroyed the biscuit's career in the Royal Navy.
God. The Victorian era, I presume, is where the real groundbreaking stuff starts to go on. That's a golden era for biscuits.
Yeah, I mean, it's a golden age for so many things because, of course, this is when we see the birth of mass manufacturing and, crucially, the beginnings of the railway in across the British Empire, beginning in England in around 1825, 1830. And there was a man by the name of Joseph Huntley who was responsible for reimagining what the role of the biscuit was outside of, you know, armies and navies and things like that. And he thought, okay, suddenly we've got thousands of passengers leaving Victoria Station or Waterloo Station every day to go across the country. He got a contract to package a single biscuit for first-class passengers leaving London stations. And this was the beginning of a reassociation of the biscuit with luxury travel.
Right. And tea and a lovely little break for yourself.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Very good. I presume he made a fortune out of it,
didn't he? Made a fortune. He operated out of Reading and he soon was hiring 5,000 people and it became known as Biscuit Town.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's not still known as Biscuit Town.
I don't think so.
Lost that association. then onwards, the McVitie's, the Scottish company McVitie's is again very important as well, isn't it? And Alexander Grant.
Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of the listeners, you know, it's an old favourite, the digestive biscuit. It's hard to improve upon. It's such a simple concept, but when it was originally formulated, it was advertised for very different reasons. A man by the name of Alexander Grant, as you say, who was later knighted for services to the biscuit. He, in 1892, came up with the recipe for the world's first digestive biscuit with McVitie's. Now, he advertised it as an aid to digestion. That's why it's called
a digestive.
Digestive,
of course.
We don't really consider it as an aid to digestion now, obviously. But in those days, they believed that a high bicarbonate soda content and the fact that he was using coarse brown flour instead of white flour, people thought that this would be would lead to a reduction in flatulence, quote-unquote, from the period. So it was a kind of associated with these medicinal qualities.
Right, but it was also just a hit, isn't it? Because that's the thing that strikes you as you look at the history of biscuits. There are people who come along with just a hit. He produced a biscuit that is like nothing else beforehand. I mean, he did that with the digestive, was just everyone took a mouthful and thought, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, and to be honest, Tom, the recipe is little changed. It's still a secret, the exact recipe to the McVitie's digestive, but as you said, he's a simple idea. The best biscuits are the oldest biscuits, and they're famous because they're simple. Your bourbon, your nice, your rich tea, your digestive, they've been around for over a century, those biscuits.
All from the Victorian age, again, it is that golden age. And the other one then, the chocolate chip cookie, that's another groundbreaker.
Yeah. I mean, over the last 5 or 6 years in Ireland, we've seen the American invasion on our shores of the cookie. There's a whole generation being brought up in this country who are under the illusion that the cookie is a biscuit. But we know, Tom, that
it's cake, isn't it?
It is technically a cake because cookie comes from the Dutch word cookie. I don't speak Dutch, K-O-E-K-I-E. When the Dutch settled in parts of the eastern United States in the 17th century, they brought this word over with them. It was incorporated into American English. That's why they call biscuits cookies in the United States. But to answer your question, a woman named Ruth Wakefield is responsible for inventing the world's first chocolate chip cookie in 1938.
And is that a biscuit? Now, is it technically different to everything else? Or, you know, I was just being facetious there about it being a cake. I don't regard them as biscuits for some reason. They seem modern and fangled.
Yeah, well, I mean, this goes back
to that is.
Modern and fangled.
Also fangled.
Or
yes.
New fangled.
But a bit of that also. Yes.
God, I hate when things are fangled.
Oh, I tell you.
Look, this is obviously going to divide our listeners. I mean, there's people across the country switching off the radio right now in disgust.
Or Duncan.
But look, I would say that it is a biscuit if it's twice cooked. If it's only cooked once, and I know for certain that a lot of these American cookies are only put in the oven once, and therefore they're cakes, they're not cookies.
It's not a biscuit. Absolutely not.
Sorry, they're not biscuits. Yeah,
they're not biscuits. Yet they did that. Okay, I stand that changed history. I think I get the impression Britain wouldn't have ruled the waves were it not for the biscuit, and that has to have been a history changer.
Yeah,
a deal
absolutely.
Changer. Yeah. Pink wafer biscuits. Where do you stand on them, Simon?
Oh, they're cakes.
Cakes.
Yeah, I mean, guys, are you not listening? Yes. What I'm trying to say is, twice if it's only baked. Cooked once, it's a cake.
Yes, twice baked. Jam or no jam on a biscuit, like Jammy Dodgers. I like to spread raspberry jam on my digestives, rich tea. So, yeah, I think jam on a biscuit, again, is one of those things that jam and butter on a biscuit.
Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan. I mean, a Jammy Dodger essentially is two biscuits stuck together with jam in the middle. So it still qualifies as a biscuit.
Very good. You can send your favourites to 53106. Simon, thanks very much
for that.